Oxidation is a process that really should be avoided in raw materials, in feed and in premixes, mm-hmm. to maintain the quality of their formulations. But also, as a second take-home message, is that the consumption of oxidized fats can lead to reduced animal growth, can potentially lead to diseases, and can have an impact on animal welfare. And this is really important to take in into account. Mm-hmm. Antioxidants also should be added at the very beginning when the feed is being produced to really stop the starting of the propagation stage of the chemical reaction.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista. New nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production.
Digestrum Finish helps optimize feed efficiency, supporting healthy growth in finisher pigs. Enhance your profitability today. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish.
Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Sidlines, an Ecolab company, offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene in the swine industry.
Hello and welcome back to the Swine It Show. My name is Daniel Linhares. I'll be your host for today. And I have the privilege of being talking here with Inés Pérez Portabella. Hi, Inés. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here. Should we start by introducing you to our audience? Would you mind providing us a quick snapshot of your academic and professional trajectory?
Yes, of course. I hold a degree on organic chemistry from the University of Barcelona, and I worked my scientific dissertation in the field also of organic chemistry at the Ludwig Maximilian University of Munich. And then I did the MBA in agri-food industry also in Barcelona. And then I joined LUCTA in 1994, so already many years ago. But I started as a manager of the biotechnology department at the R&D division, and I was developing and producing flavors, food flavors by fermentation. I also work with the British Columbia University in developing new enzymes mixed for feed application, and I implemented different analytical methodologies for quantifying enzymatic activity. But then in 2000, I was promoted as an application manager at the feed additive division, and that's my position, my actual position. My main responsibilities are in the development and application of sensory additives in different feed matrices. My expertise is based in the use of sensory analytical techniques together with chromatography analysis, so gas and liquid chromatography, for studying the flavor performance, the stability, and the possible interactions with raw material, premixes, and final feeds. But I am also actively involved in the development of antioxidants, synthetic and natural, for assuring fat quality. I work in the development of methodologies to check the antioxidant efficacy in fats and feeds, and we run accelerated studies to define the shelf lives on the use of those antioxidants. So that's my academic and professional trajectory.
Yeah, thanks for providing us that those highlights. You are still based on Barcelona, is that right?
Exactly. LUCTA is based in Barcelona. Headquarters are in Barcelona, but we have subsidiaries in USA, Colombia, Mexico, also China, and also other commercial offices.
In swine production, performance is everything. At LUCTA, We know your success depends on measurable results. That's why our feed additives go beyond improving palatability. They're scientifically designed to enhance feed intake, support animal well-being, and drive optimal growth. From the weaning transition to periods of stress, our solutions deliver what matters most: resilient animals, improved performance, and a stronger bottom line. Backed by decades of expertise and a commitment to innovation, Lucta is redefining swine nutrition. Because when your herd thrives, so does your business. Lucta, create, connect, inspire. Visit lucta.com to learn more.
All right, yeah. Oh, Barcelona is a great city. I hope we had a chance to do a podcast about the city, but we're talking about oxidation in feed instead, and it's impacting feed quality and palatability, right? So, can you please remind us what is feed oxidation and how does it happen and why?
Exactly. So oxidation is a chemical reaction, and it is one of the major causes of quality degradation. In feed, there are four raw material ingredients that can get oxidized. Of course, first the fat, that once it gets oxidized, it produces some rancid smell that this will affect palatability. But then we also have vitamins oxidation. Once the vitamins get oxidized, they will lose their metabolic properties, and this can affect significantly animal growth. Mm-hmm. Also, we have pigments in the feeds, like astaxanthin or lutein, that are being used in fish aqua feeds or poultry feeds to color the feeds. Once the pigments get oxidized, they lose the color, so that will be gone. And finally, proteins. The fat oxidized can interact with the proteins, with the amino acids, the peptide chains, and can degrade also protein. So we have these four ingredients that can really be affected by oxidation. But how does oxidation start? If we focus on fat oxidation or fat-containing materials oxidation, there are three steps in the oxidation that we can be talking about. First, it's the initiation stage where the fat, in the presence of a catalyst, will form a free radical. This free radical, in the presence of oxygen, will react and form peroxides, and those peroxides will degrade to volatiles and ketones. This is when we say this feed is rancid. We are at this stage of the oxidation. The peroxides degrade. And finally, in the termination stage, the different free radicals meet together and form new molecules. So really, oxidation is a chemical reaction, and we are getting new molecules that indeed we don't want them, and also degrade the quality of our formulation.
And so on paper, you may have a perfect diet, but then if there is oxidation, it's going to affect, like you said, growth rate and how the proteins get absorbed and their quality, right? And you mentioned palatability. How does it affect the taste, and how can you talk a little bit more about that? Because that can also affect feed consumption, right?
Exactly. So this is really a very important topic. And indeed, in Lucta, we are experts on palatability, and that's why oxidation is very important. So as I explained, during the oxidation process, the peroxides will degrade and will form what we call the secondary oxidation byproducts. Those secondary oxidation byproducts are aldehydes, ketones, that are volatile. Those volatiles smell and taste to rancid. And this rancidity is what the animal can really detect at the end. Indeed, there are several authors that have been investigating about this effect of oxidized fat in vivo. For example, Rosero from the Iowa University studied the inclusion of oxidized soybean fat in weaning pig diets. And he observed, he showed really a growth, a growth reduction of 9%, also a reduction in feed intake of 7%. There were problems of absorptions, And even also there were problems on digestion in the animals. But not only in piglets, also in other species like broilers, there are several authors also demonstrating the effect of including oxidized fats in a diet that has also an impact on decreasing the carcass weight also and also the body weight of the animals. So there are plenty of studies that demonstrate that oxidized fats will really have an impact on palatability that is linked with growth performance of the animals.
Yeah, well, it's pretty important matter. And what are the main factors affecting that the fat or the feed oxidation?
Exactly. This is always very important to have in mind. So the first factor affecting oxidation is oxygen. Oxygen participates directly in the reaction itself with the free radical. But also we have light and temperature. So the higher the temperature, the higher the speed of the oxidation reaction, but also the same with the light. Both light and temperature, what they do is that they decrease the activation energy of the chemical reaction, and this will occur quicker. But there are also other factors, like very important to look at, like fat content and the degree of unsaturation of the fat. So the higher the fat content of our feed formulation, the higher the risk. And also, the higher the unsaturation of the fat, the higher the risk. For example, if we are having a fat formulation with a lot of linoleic or linolenic acids with 2 and 3 double bonds, the risk will be much higher than working with fats with more saturated fats. For example, if we compare corn oil in front of soybean oil in front of a lard, okay, unsaturation is much higher in vegetable oils, in corn oil, than, for example, in an animal fat. So the risk will be much higher. Another very important factor are the metals. The metals are the main catalyst, especially oxides. For example, if we are thinking in piglets' diets, we can have a look to copper and iron as important catalyzers, but also zinc, magnesium, oxides. All these are very important catalysts, and they will help to start very quickly this oxidation reaction. And finally, always also a very important thing to have in mind, an oxidized raw material introduced into a diet that is protected with antioxidant can act as a catalyzer also. So the quality control programs that companies should have on their formulations also should take that into account. So oxidized raw material will act as a catalyzer of oxidation of other more stable fats. So these are the main factors affecting oxidation.
And you kind of mentioned already about methodologies to recommend to control, right? To control or prevent. Can you dive deeper on this? On the what can people do to avoid or to minimize oxidation?
There are analytics methodologies that can be performed in labs. So at farm level, to perform these methodologies I will be talking or describing now, it's complex, but maybe we can talk a bit later. So our proposal always is to look at primary oxidation products and secondary oxidation products. So as primary oxidation products, peroxide values is a methodology that can be used, can be done in a lab. You need to extract the fat and measure the peroxides. Values above 10 or 12 of peroxides is an already indication that an oxidation process is starting on. But it's always good to combine it with another methodology that measures the secondary oxidation products. What happens when peroxides get degraded? And then we have methodologies that measure an anisidine value is one of them, or thiobarbituric acid, or the volatiles that can be measured by gas chromatography. Indeed, in Lucta, we developed methodologies to measure those volatiles that are being produced and are linked to this rancid smell that can be also detected. And we also use sensory analysis techniques to also identify rancid notes. These, you can train people, you can train your team also to detect rancid notes and to then think that, hey, there is a problem starting here.
And is it something that has threshold or is it more yes or no type of reading?
On the rancidity smell, you mean, on sensory analysis, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a question of threshold. So maybe you detect slight rancid, we make a kind of classification or a scale, okay, with our panelist group. But then maybe there is a slight rancidity and there are feeds that you really detect strong rancid smell, because rancidity is not one single volatile. It's a combination of different volatiles that are being produced once the peroxides are being degraded. So it's a group of volatiles. And at the end, maybe there is one that is coming quicker than the other and you detect it stronger than the others.
I see. And you talked about the antioxidants, right? Can you talk a little bit more about the role and some of the, what's the mode of action? How does it work?
So the antioxidant is a chain-breaking molecule which donates an hydrogen to stop the reaction of the peroxide radical. So once we have this radical, the antioxidant will give the hydrogen and will stop the chain reaction. So the antioxidant cannot reverse the reaction itself, but can stop it for a while. So we need and we want to use antioxidant to be able to achieve a certain shelf life of the feed itself. If the feed has a risk of getting oxidized for all the reason I explained before, it will get oxidized. But with the help of the antioxidant at the right dose and with the right actives inside, we will achieve the shelf life we are putting in our label or the shelf life we want to achieve.
You know, what are you mentioned different markets, right? Are antioxidants available all across those different markets, or are there will be some that are available in the US but not in other parts of the world, vice versa?
Oh, exactly. Legislation of antioxidants are different in different areas. So we have synthetic antioxidants and natural antioxidants. Indeed, synthetic antioxidants in the United States, there are some more actives allowed than in, for example, European Union. In the United States, you can use in for all livestock feeds, you can use etoxiquin, you can use BHT and BHA, you can use propylgalate. And also there is a maximum level allowed. In the States, for etoxiquin is 150 ppm, and for BHT, BHA, and propylgalate is 200 ppm maximum of all the actives. But, for example, in Europe, etoxiquin was banned some years ago already. And this was a huge problem in Europe, so where we had to replace this very strong and potent antioxidant. And of course, we manage, so we develop new combinations to substitute this etoxiquin.
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your pig's physiology to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Ambateen, Flow Matrix, and Endura, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in swine production. From gut health to growth performance, together we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
I see. Well, just reminding the audience, this is the Swine It. And if you like it, take the time to like it, share it, love it, whatever your platform allows. And so we talked all the way from the feed mill, I guess, to the barn. And so what are your key take home first for the nutritionists, right, that are formulating the feeds and evaluating the ingredients and taking all of these into account?
So first of all, I would say that, first of all, oxidation is a process that really should be avoided in raw materials, in feed and in premixes, mm-hmm. to maintain the quality of their formulations. But also, as a second take-home message, is that the consumption of oxidized fats can lead to reduced animal growth, can potentially lead to diseases, and can have an impact on animal welfare. And this is really important to take in into account. Mm-hmm. Antioxidants also should be added at the very beginning when the feed is being produced to really stop the starting of the propagation stage of the chemical reaction. Because if we add the antioxidant too late, then it's a waste of money and it will not work properly. And then finally, just to have in mind that the oxidation risk of a feed formulation depends mainly on fat content, unsaturation degree, and the metal content you have in that diet, metal content, exactly. And then at the end, the antioxidants at the proper dose will help you to guarantee a shelf life of the formulation.
All right. No, thank you. And how about for those in the field who think about farm staff, the animal health professionals, without deep knowledge on all of that, right? How can they spot potential problems with oxidation in the farm? And who should they connect with?
This is a good question. at farm level, of course, you need to base in observation of animals. And then I would say detect a decrease in feed intake or a decrease in growth, animal performance. So this may be an indication that something is happening there. And the first thing I would suggest is to have a look to the feed oxidative status. So to take the feed, maybe you can take the feed, then first of all, smell it, but then move the feed into a clean atmosphere. So not in the farm, because in the farm there are a lot of odors and that can interfere the sensory evaluation. And then once you move it, you smell it. Maybe you detect there some rancidity already, or if you are familiarized with that smell. Sometimes I have to admit it's difficult. And then, of course, then if you have some doubts, you can go to your feed supplier of feed and maybe talk with them. Of course, if somebody is interested in getting an advice on how to protect properly the feed, how which type of antioxidant and which type of dose to use of that antioxidant, they can connect with Lucta through our website in Lucta USA. We have a production plant, we have labs, mm-hmm. and we can help them, attend them on trying to identify what is happening in that feed and how we can solve this oxidation problem.
And can you remind the audience, what's your website?
www.lucta.com.
That's easy. All right. Yeah, no, thank you for all those practical explanations and practical interventions, right? And how to detect if there are problems going on in the field. Anything else we left behind that you'd like to emphasize, or do you think that we covered the topic pretty good?
I just forgot to mention about antioxidants that mainly synthetics are being used, but then I forgot to mention also naturals can be used for certain species. Maybe naturals antioxidants are being used more in pet food sector because natural antioxidants are much more expensive than synthetics. But of course, these are also good products that can work very well in the feeds. Of course, we need higher doses and also higher cost. But also from a labeling point of view and safety point of view are probably better in that case. Just to mention that I forgot to include them in the list of possible antioxidants.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com.
T
Keyes Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. Vaccinova. Formulate to your needs. Custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. SUNY. We provide value-added biotech solutions.
Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth.
A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes methionine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
Well, with that, it's time for our famous three.
Oh, my God.
Famous three questions. So the first one is, what it will be your recommendation of a go-to resource for swine-related, any swine-related resource?
I would focus on maybe my reference book on lipid oxidation, okay? Because that was my reference that is also related on how oxidation is going and what is important there. And this is a book on lipid oxidation from Edwin Frankel. He's a reference in the sector of oxidation, and it was published by the Oily Press. And it's a book I had from the beginning in all my studies and all my developments.
I see. Some opportunity for a deep dive for those interested. How about non-swine related? Any resource, book, movie, whatever it's kind of bringing your attention these days?
So regarding this, so I think on a movie I've seen recently, although it's an old movie, it's a movie based on a real event. It's a film called Impossible. I don't know if you have heard about. It's related to the tsunami that happened in 2004, that many people died in Thailand. But then this is the story of a Spanish family, Maria Belon and his husband and three kids, how they survived that tsunami, and it's really impressive. It's very well done from Juan Antonio Bayona, and I like it very much, really.
The final question is, based on your experience, based on your perceptions and everything, what do you think are the common characteristics or traits that set apart successful individuals professionally?
So professionally, of course, yeah, to have a solid academic studies is important, but for me, something that I think it's really valuable on a professional is to a person that has a lot of emotional intelligence. So someone that can manage properly emotions, someone that is honest, transparent, that has empathy with people. So also if you have to lead teams, in my opinion, you need this type of qualities, right? And I would say these are, for me, one of some of the most important characteristics of a professional.
Emotional intelligence.
Emotional like intelligence. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for your time here with us. That's all about we had for today. And thank you very much.
Thank you to you, Daniel. And thank you also to the audience for listening.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.